Thank you. Well, welcome. Well, welcome to your announcements. First up, we want to give a little update from our Christmas Eve service. During Christmas Eve, we take up an offering that goes to a specific organization. Give us an update on what happened with that.
Well, first of all, you and your team did a great job on the Christmas Eve service. It was wonderful. So good to have so many of you join us.
Yeah.
And as you know, we give away. We want to be a blessing at Christmas Eve. And this year, we raised money for Child Survivor program with Compassion. They were so excited when I told them that you guys raised $9,000, just shy of $9,000. So good.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's so awesome. So thank you, thank you, thank you from the folks in Mexico and from Compassion Canada. They're so grateful for our partnership.
So great, love that.
Yeah.
And then just a few things coming up for the new year.
Yeah, so there's been a few people who've been asking, you know, how do I become a member at SBC, right? And you're like, a member, what does that mean? Well, are you a member by attending? Sure you are, but there's also this other level of membership that we'd just love to be able to talk with you a little bit about on February 9th. 7 p.m. here at Wilkinson Road. We're gonna have a class, and we're just gonna talk to you a little bit about our mission, some of our values, like the why we do what we do, why we don't do what we do, maybe a little bit of our history, and give you an opportunity to consider whether you'd like to join us formally as a member of SBC.
Sounds great.
Yep.
And?
Yes, one more, thanks.
One more.
Yes, absolutely. So some of you have been asking us about baptism, and we had a wonderful baptism service, I believe it was back in October. We said we'd be having another one in the new year. We will be having one in a few weeks, probably 5 or 6 weeks from now. We'll clarify that date with you shortly. But if you are interested in hearing a little bit more about baptism, just reach out to us, office@sanishbaptist.org. We'd love to chat with you about it.
Awesome. Well, that's great. And for any other events, keeping up with what's going on around here, head to our website anytime for all of that information, sanishbaptist.org.
Awesome.
I think, right?
Yeah,
totally. That's the one.
Thanks, Kim.
See you guys.
You would think that I've said the website enough times in my life that I would be confident of that, but every once in a while you just second guess yourself. And that's okay. Well, welcome. We're so glad that you're here. We'd love for you to stand if you're able to and join us as we start off by singing The Battle Belongs. Let's put our hands together.
And all I see is the battle. You see my victory. When all I see is a mountain, you see mountain move.
As I walk.
And as I walk through the shadows, your love surrounds. Thank you. Jesus, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows. You win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. No mighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing.
For God and not for me. We are in the middle of a series that is proving to be challenging, encouraging. We are hoping and have been praying that it would be equipping for you. We're calling this series in January Renew. And as we're gathering, we're practicing some of the disciplines, some of the things that we need to be able to live out and practice in our own time as well. But when we gather, we have a collective expression, and this morning we're dealing with praise and worship. And what does that mean? What does that look like? Well, in this context, in this gathering, in this room, it's about trying to give God his proper place. Honor. Homage, if you like. We are declaring, you are God and I am not, is what we're doing. And this is a part of our walking humbly with our God. This concept, this idea of praise and worship, it's not about me. It's learning to get our eyes off ourselves and back onto God, the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. Now, as we praise and as we worship, there's some things that are kind of declarative about what we're doing. We are declaring some things to each other. Like, that's one of the great things about being in a space with others of like mind, worshiping. As we sing, as we read, as we hear, we're in this space sort of cheering each other on, reminding each other of the truths of who our God is. So it's declarative to each other. It's declarative to ourselves. I've often talked with people who are maybe just going through a bit of a struggle, and I said, you know, sometimes what you need to do is you just need to get out into the world, and you just need to talk out loud to God. Like, read a psalm to God out loud, because there's something about that physical, verbal statement that you are declaring something, and you're also hearing yourself declare it. It's an interesting experience. And we're doing that together here this morning. But not only that, but we're declaring some things to the heavenlies. We're letting our God know how we feel about him. We're letting the angels know how we feel about the God that they stand by and worship and honor. We're also letting those unholy spirits know, basically, get lost. You don't have power and sway in my life. I'm honoring the God of the universe, the Creator God, the Savior God. And so there's declarative things. Really, what we're doing is we're yielding and surrendering to this God. There's physical things. Some of you feel comfortable raising your hands. That can be helpful. There are some churches actually that have kneeling bars in front, and they sometimes literally physically get down. Like, worship is a posture. There's physical expression to it. And so today we're gathered to worship on the unceded lands of the Lekwungen and the Musanich peoples, and we're so grateful to be able to do that, to worship our God. And I want to read for you some verses from Psalm 103, and I'll turn it back to the team. Oh, my soul, come praise the Eternal with all that is in me, body, emotions, mind, will, every part of who I am. Praise His holy name. Oh, my soul, come praise the Eternal. Sing a song from a grateful heart. Sing and never forget all the good He has done. Despite all of our many offenses, He forgives and releases us. More than any doctor, He heals our diseases. He reaches deep into the pit to deliver us from death. He crowns us with unfailing love and compassion like a king. When our souls are famished and withering, He fills us with good and beautiful things, satisfying us as long as we live. He makes us strong like eagles, restoring our youth. The Eternal has established His throne up in the heavens. He rules over every seen and unseen realm and creature. Adore Him. Give Him praise, you heavenly messengers, you powerful creatures who listen to the and act on His every word. Give praise to the Eternal, all armies of heaven, you servants who stand ready to do His will. Give praise to the Eternal, all that He has made in all corners of His creation. Oh, my soul, come praise the Eternal.
Amen. Well, let's do that. And it can seem like, you know, we're on a stage, and so it can seem like we're the worship team and you guys are just going to, you know, be the people sitting in the concert. And that is not what this is. If anything, we are simply the accompaniment. Maybe I'm the choir director, but you guys are the main event here. It is the praise of what you offer here this morning that rises to God like a beautiful incense. So let's give Him glory. Let's start off. Let's just sing about who our God is. He is way maker. He is miracle worker. He's a light in the darkness. Let's sing about who our God is. 'Cause you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. You are He moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are He. Working in this place, I worship you. I worship. Sing it again. 'Cause you are He moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. And you are He. In the darkness, my God, that is who you are. 'Cause you are way
Even when I don't see that you're working, even when I don't feel that you're working, you never stop, never stop working. You never stop, never stop working. Even when I don't see that you're working, even when I don't feel that you're working, you never stop, never stop working. You never stop, never stop working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise.
That is who you are, that you are a God that is in the business of making a way where there is no way. That you're a God who is in the business of bringing light to the darkness. That you are all of these things and so much more. We just praise you. Pray this in your name. Amen. And kids, if you want to head out to the back as well, this is your time where Shiloh's going to take you up and you guys are going to continue to talk about worship up in your kids' program, so you guys can head to that.
Awesome, yeah. God is at work. Even when we don't feel it, see it. And you see, one of the things about worship is we're not always feeling it. I mentioned this last week. One of the things that we need to be able to do and to be able to enter into is that kind of to worship by faith sometimes. Like when life isn't going the way you want it to, it doesn't feel like the miracle worker is actually, you know, on the clock. And you're just not sure. And so we can come and we can worship when we're not feeling it, when life doesn't, you know, by faith. And, you know, in worship, one of the things that is just so powerful is that there's an exchange that takes place. When we come, and maybe we are struggling, we're not feeling it, we're not sensing it, but we come and we yield and we surrender and we praise God. There's this amazing exchange that can take place. It's a space within our souls where God can then come in and do a work, can meet us in the core of who we are, in the midst of our doubts, possibly. God sees us and he's saying to us, listen, you can hold on to your anger, you can hold on to your fear, you can hold on to your frustration, you can hang on to all of that if you like, or we can exchange that. And one of the greatest places for that is in this posture of prayer, this posture of praise, this posture of worship. And in the midst of that anger, fear, and frustration, God will come in and he'll offer you his presence, his peace, his hope, despite all of what is seemingly going on around you, or maybe not going on around you as you would wish. The psalmists regularly demonstrate these things for us. And Psalm 42 starts off, and the psalmist reads, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night. While people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why? My soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. I love this. For I will yet praise him. I will yet praise him. My Savior, my God, my soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of the Hermon, from Mount Mizar. And deep calls out to deep. God meets us in that depth of our soul, that space of downcast, that space of possible depression, that face of despair. God wants to meet us there. I love this psalmist. Psalm 73 is another one where the psalmist was just going on and he was venting. You ever needed to vent? And he just vented to God. I'm telling you, God can handle it, and you need to do it. Don't hold back. Go to him. Let him know what's going on. And then in the midst of that, all of a sudden, in verse 23, this is Psalm 73, if you want to see it. In verse 23, he all of a sudden stops, and he kind of goes, yet I am with you always. You are at my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you'll take me into your glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail and are failing me right now. That I added that. I am despairing. I am downcast. I am frustrated. But you, God, are the strength of my heart and my portion forever. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge, and I will tell of all your deeds. Can you get to that space? I can tell you, when I was going through a period of depression in my own life, I found praise and worship, declarative songs, declarative psalms, powerful in my life. So I declared some of those things that I was challenging to hold on to, but I knew that they were so true of who my God was, and I would just go to him. And God did a work on my heart and my soul. We can praise even when we don't feel it.
Well, we're going to sing a song, and it might not be, it probably isn't familiar to you, but it deals with this idea. The verse starts out just saying, all my words fall short. I've got nothing new. The second verse says, I could sing these songs, I often do, but every song must end. And sometimes all that we have to give our God is a hallelujah. And it's amazing how he meets us there when we push through not feeling like worshiping him, not feeling like you should worship him maybe. And yet when we push through that, God meets us in those depths. So we're going to sing this song, And I encourage you, if you don't know the words, you don't want to sing along, that's fine. Maybe close your eyes and just let the words be spoken over you by others and by us. Maybe you want to use a posture to just, the chorus says, I throw up my hands, I'll praise you again and again. Maybe you want to do that posture with us, but I encourage you to just allow this song to speak into those moments of despair, of hardship, and let's worship our God if we're coming from those places. All my words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing. Just one move with my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah. Just says, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, because you've got a lion inside of those lungs. So get up and praise the Lord. So I'm going to invite you to stand. I know that the words aren't on the screen. It's totally my bad. It's a new song, and I forgot to load the words in there. And so that is my bad. But let's still just let this pour out of us. Come on, my soul. Let's encourage ourselves to lift up the praise for him. Come on, my soul, don't you get shy of me. Lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Sing it again. Come on, my soul. So come on, my soul, oh, don't you get shy of me. Lift up your song. Oh,
And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing alleluia, alleluia.
So let's lift up that song by giving praise to Jesus, the one who makes the darkness tremble. Yeah. We should have lyrics for this one too. Peace, bring it all to peace. Storm surrounding me, let it break. At your name still, called the sea to still, the rage in me to still every wave. At your name, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Silence fear, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. Breathe, call his lungs to live, call his lungs to sing once again. I will pray.
Your name cannot be overcome. knees tremble, Jesus, Jesus. You silence fear, Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus.
Of God's throne, his vision of God's throne, where all these angels and creatures are surrounding the throne of God, and they just repeat, holy, 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 worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive power and glory and honor. And there's a line in a song by Brooke Ligert that just says, praise him like we're there in glory. Here and now, he's just as holy. And sometimes I think we forget that because everything looks so earthly around us. All these humans are here, everything looks very normal. We've got walls, everything is very tangible. And yet I just want us to take a moment before we continue this song and let's join John. Let's ask God to give us a vision of his throne room. And I challenge you, if you were there in glory right now, you're seated, you're looking up at this glorious throne where Jesus himself, God of all, is seated on this throne, where angels and mysterious creatures all are just chanting, holy, 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 worthy, worthy, worthy. How would you respond there? How would you respond if you were looking on that and you saw that with your eyes right now? What would you want to say? What song would just burst out of you? Would you fall to your face? Would you just start crying? I don't know what your response would be. I don't know what my response would be necessarily. But I know one thing is that I wouldn't be standing here straight. I don't think. And I know that we're Baptists and that it's hard for us to get out of that comfort zone. But I want to give you permission to use a posture that you think brings God glory. to sing these next two verses. We're going to be singing, "Holy, holy, holy, all the saints adore you." We are all the saints. So don't worry about what anybody else is doing. You just picture yourself at the throne room of God, joining with the angels and all of creation, singing, "Holy, holy, holy." And you just let that worship just flow out of you. Allow that to just explode out of you as we worship that holy God. Holy, 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 worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive glory and power and honor. So let's sing this together. Holy, holy, different, completely separated, completely other than us. So worthy of our praise, the best that we can give. Sometimes that looks different. Sometimes our best is itty bitty, and sometimes our best is like an ocean wave crashing down. God, we thank you for your mercy and your grace, that you love and you accept both bests. That it just brings joy to commune with us in this way. So we thank you. We thank you for Scripture and for John's vision of heaven and your throne, which can give us a glimpse into that, a glimpse beyond the here and now. So yeah, we just give you all of the glory and all of the honor and praise that we can muster. And we pray this in your name. Amen. I invite you to take a seat.
Another piece of our worship is giving of our money. And I know for sometimes for us who stand up here and we have to make mention of that, there's sometimes there's a little bit of pause and we feel awkward around it. And calling and giving you that opportunity to honor God through your worship. David Foster Wallace was giving a commencement speech to a community college. And he made this comment. It was quite a discourse, and he was a gentleman who was definitely searching and trying to figure life out. He was very, very philosophical and a deep thinker, and he said, "Everybody worships. The choice we get is what we worship. And the compelling reason for maybe choosing God or some spirituality is that anything else will eat you alive. It will disappoint. If you worship money and things, If they are where you tap real meaning in life, then you will never have enough. You'll never feel you have enough. And he was just echoing God's words. Like, money and things are fine and can be very wonderful and can be amazing to have, but if they are our end goal, they'll eat us alive. They'll disappoint. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is talking to his followers, and they're just discussing some of the pressures of life, just the realities of the pressures of making, you know, the bills at the end of the month and all of these kinds of things and the needs that they have. And God said, listen, what you need to do is you need to put me first and trust your life, your whole life to me, and I will care for you. Bible talks in all kinds of different terms around this whole concept of giving, from this idea of giving our first fruits to God, the very first thing right off the top. Talks about percentage giving. Sometimes people will come to me, well, how much should I be giving God? I'm like, I don't know. That's between you and God. 1 Corinthians 9 talks about being generous people. Talks about how when we gather, we're to come and we are to give and honor God with our tithes and offerings, whether that's the place of worship. In the old system, it was the temple, and certainly we read in Acts, the early church would come together and they bring things together and they would serve and bless others with it all. And so there's a collective thing that we do here as we give our tithes and offerings. We steward it here as a church in order to bless and to serve and to help others. You personally have to make a choice as to whether or not in your resources, in your finances, whether you're going to put God first in that. And that's a trust issue. That's an issue of faith. And ultimately, it's an issue of worship. You might remember Jesus talked about that widow, that term, the widow's mite. And there were others who were walking past the offering plate and were putting in all kinds of stuff, making all kinds of noise so others would hear and sort of notice them. Of course, that's not quite right. And then this widow came by and just dropped a little widow's mite in there. And Jesus said, you know, she's actually given more than anybody else. And they're like, what? That makes no sense. But it does, right? It's here. And so we regularly, sometimes we forget to mention the offering. Hey, Kim? We try not to. Sometimes the ushers have to come forward because we've forgotten and didn't read our script well. But we try to give you an opportunity to give that way. And we try as a church to steward it well, to be able to live out the values of the kingdom of our God. And so I'm going to pray. And we're going to stand, the ushers are going to come forward, and we're going to give you an opportunity to worship God through the giving of your tithes and offerings. God, I thank you. I thank you for this chance in this service to be doing what we're doing. I'm thankful for the privilege, really, the opportunity to honor you through this giving. God, I would pray against any pride for any of us. Any sense of look at me, like that, God, that's just not what we're trying to do here. We're trying to honor you, and we're making a statement as we give this that we trust you, and so we're giving this idea of this tithe, this first fruits. We're trying to give out of generous hearts that your kingdom would be served well through the ministry of this church. And so we give to you now, both in the physical giving of this offering, but also in this song, honor and praise that's due your name.
Well, I invite the ushers to come forward and maybe stay seated until they've passed it by, just in case you're juggling and that's awkward. But as soon as it passes you by, feel free to stand and join us. We're going to sing, oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled.
I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. So go praise his name.
Choir. Oh, praise his name.
We've been trying to touch on different aspects of worship. Now, see, you're all going to leave here in a few minutes. And depending on how you live, how you interact with others and the life around you, will make a statement about your worship. Romans chapter 11, verse 33 into chapter 12 are some important words for us to hear. Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of our God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be glory forever. Oh, and that's a great way to end things, isn't it? But it's not quite, actually. Hold on. Therefore, I urge you, in view of everything that was just said, the things that we've sung, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. You see, what sometimes happens is we can have an amazing service in here, and then we can just go and we can just forget all about it, as if this is where worship solely takes place. And sometimes we, as Christ followers, as Christians, have been called hypocrites. And maybe rightly so. Because what happens is we hear about this good, amazing God, and we sing and we praise, and it's this amazing experience here, and then we go out, and it's as if we just like have amnesia and just forget all about this God as we walk through these doors and enter into life. And God is saying, man, your worship is here, yes, but it's got to go with us into every stream of living, every stream, every avenue, everything that we do. I love what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, just to sort of put an exclamation mark on what we've just heard. And Paul is talking to the church in Corinth, and he says, listen, you can do anything you want. Just again, this idea, you can choose what you want to worship. You can do anything you want, but he says, here's what I'm going to do. Verse 31, so whether I drink or eat or whatever I do, I'm going to do it all to the glory of God. And that, my friends, is our spiritual act of worship, to live for the glory of God, to do commerce for the glory of God in God's way, to do relationships for the glory of God in God's way, to do marriage, to do neighboring, to do business, all of life for God's glory, in God's way, and Paul adds, for the benefit of others. Love God, heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself with God's love. We worship here, and we worship as we go. Our lives in totality are to be a worship of our God.
So as we do, well, there's a corporate prayer. Yeah, we should do that.
Yeah. Every once in a while, please stand. This is a great prayer. And let's read it together, shall we? I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Place me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be put to work for you or set aside for you. Praised for you or criticized for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and fully surrender all things to your glory and service. And now, O wonderful and holy God, creator, redeemer, and sustainer, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it also be made in heaven. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, as we do close the service today, let's close by declaring the gospel of Jesus and the living hope that goes with us out as we live these lives of worship. We don't do this by ourselves. We don't do this in our own strength. We go with the living, breathing, walking hope, Jesus Christ. So let's sing this song together.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Who could imagine?
Who could imagine? So great a mercy, what heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross is Jesus, yours is the victory.
couple things. If you were here and not prepared to give through the offering plates that you'd like to give, there's the giving station in the back. You're welcome to go and see Sarah following service. If you're in need of prayer, be people up front here who would just love to pray with you and to support you through whatever it is you're going through. Colossians 3, 16 and 17 says, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you, teaching, admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. God bless you as you go with him and live your life of worship.